whether you agree with comprehensive immigration reform or fall on the side of the deportation of what the United States Immigration Service cites as some 11 million undocumented immigrants that reside within the United States, Americans are grappling with the most contested issue of the 2016 presidential race, one that puts jobs and economics, the safeguarding of our borders from terrorist threat, and the rights of the undocumented immigrant up for political debate. But what happens when the political is personal and real lives are affected? My guests today have firsthand knowledge of the challenge of being undocumented in the United States. I'd like to welcome Carlo Aban, Ecuadorian-born, New York-based actor working at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Good morning.
Good to have you. And a familiar voice to Jefferson Public Radio listeners, Jessica DeNova, who is the host of the Morning Edition. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. When you were undocumented folk, because both of you all were undocumented folk at one time in your life, true?
Yes. Yes. For me personally, for nearly 24 years. Now, I was brought as a young child when I was going to be four. So that was, 24 years, because there wasn't a process, and there's still isn't one if I hadn't married a U.S. citizen, but there really it isn't as easy as filling out an application and standing in line. Mm-hmm. So that was my that's what blocked me from moving forward with the process of legalization.
And I was undocumented for 12 years, so about half the time. I was brought over as a child as well from Ecuador when I was seven, and we entered the country legally. We came on a tourist visa. And then overstayed our visa and applied for a green card right away. But that process took 12 years for that application to be processed.
Yeah, that's an interesting insertion point to the conversation. I'm really interested to know what that view was as a person who seems like is more of a category than necessarily looked at as an individual in a country context.
Well, for me personally, it's definitely an interesting dynamic because all I knew was America. Went to school here, K-12, and read the history and knew that in the United States, if you work hard for what you want, you get it and you earn it. But you have to work for it. So I knew my whole life about my status. I had an understanding of it, but for some reason, I truly believed that if I worked hard enough and, stayed low and followed the laws, I mean, I wouldn't even jaywalk sometimes mm-hmm. to that degree. But if I followed the rules and I did well in school, there was going to be a way. And every time, when it came time to try to get a driver's license or to go to college, I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to go to medical school because, I've come to realize I just thought that was the best, hardest thing to do that would get me in, but I actually couldn't apply when the time came. Have since discovered it's not necessarily my passion. And I discovered journalism, but it was definitely an experience where I was very much involved in everything, but at the same time felt like I was looking at these dynamics that, for example, I grew up in a very conservative county in Southern California, so I knew about the plight of undocumented immigrants, but at the same time, I saw the other side. It was very interesting. I feel like I've always kind of lived my life on the line between two sides and have been able to observe both sides. And really, a lot of the families that come here as undocumented immigrants have so much in common with families that are very conservative in the United States, some farming families. The morals and the values of hard work and earning what you want, They're very much in line, and that's something that I just said, man, if we could all just hang out and have a barbecue and speak, I think we would all get along because another thing, and then I'll, I don't want to take up the time, but having grown up light-skinned was a very interesting thing, too, because I did see many of my friends constantly being recommended to take woodshop or take home ec, and it's and people were always seemed to be surprised, at least in Southern California, that I was Mexican and that I spoke Spanish, which I've never hid, and I've always been very open about. I've always also very openly shared my story of being undocumented, more to show people that there are different the face of an undocumented immigrant varies, but there were definitely I got to see look from the outside on both sides.
Carla, Jessica's talking about the dual worlds, and I guess as we come up on our first break, I'd love to hear your view and on if that was something you experienced, like a dual view.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that adversity creates perspective, you know, and I think that people that are at the margins, that are marginalized, have a wider view of the world necessarily. You know, it's like you're just standing outside of the, you're not in the inner circle, but you're standing outside. So you kind of have, you know where you are and you see where everybody else is as well.
If you're just joining us, I'm Robert Goodwin. Our guests are Carlo Alban and Jessica DeNova, and we're talking about immigration and the challenge of being undocumented in the United States. Carlo, you were talking about an interesting perspective. You said folks from the margin, because they undergo adversity, that creates a broad perspective. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. For the most part, we actually lived in California for 4 years in Buena Park because that's where my mother's family was, and that's who sponsored us for our green cards. But we moved to New Jersey when I was 11, and we settled in Sayreville, New Jersey, which was a pretty white town. There weren't a lot of Latinos there, and those were my formative years. I ended up going to Rutgers University. I didn't get my green card until I was 19. So my sophomore year of college, I got my green card. And my friends were all white. They saw me as one of them. And I feel like I had a sense, even at that young age, because I knew that we were undocumented, I had a sense of the entitlement that they had, the way that they viewed the world. Their world was very small, and their very, very limited perspective. And I don't judge them for that, and I didn't judge them for that, and I loved them, and I still love them, and they're still my friends. But I just coming from where I came from and having lived in another country and then living in this country in the political legal situation that my family lived in, I just had to be necessarily aware of a lot more things, and I had to deal with a lot more things, and I had to also, in dealing with that, keep quiet about it. Mm. And so that it was like growing up very quickly.
What are examples of those kinds of things that you all had to kind of be aware of? I hear you keep saying. But I had to be aware of these things that were, you know, keep me safe. What are those things?
You can take it if you want.
Well, I mean, like Jessica said before, you know, I couldn't get a driver's license, for instance. And so that was a challenge. And it was something that we had to deal with in our daily lives. And I knew that there were other people like me, for sure. I knew that there were other people like me, but I didn't know where they were. We couldn't leave the country. We couldn't see our families in Ecuador. My father's father passed away, and he couldn't be there. We had to get fake papers in order to be able to work.
So there's hardships like that, and then just growing up fast is a really big thing because you know, I don't know about you, but for me personally, I was the first one to pick up English because, you know, you're submerged into it as a child. So legal documentation, you're kind of reading it and, you know, it's really important. And, you know, you're translating for your parents, any letters that they're getting in the mail or, you know, anything that's in English at that age. And then also, which I grew up fast, but I wouldn't change it. You know, for the world, I think that the perspective that I have on life and the acceptance and tolerance that I have of people that are in a difficult situation definitely stems from growing up like this. But everyday challenges, something as simple as returning or exchanging clothes at a department store, you know, anything you could need an ID for, getting a card at Blockbuster, which we don't have anymore, but you know, the simple things in life, it's definitely interesting. And then when those milestones in life, like the driver's license, 21 and going out with your friends, you know, turning 21 and being denied, because they don't accept your consulate card from the Mexican government. There are the challenges that are definitely legal and obvious, but it also kind of it takes a toll on you when you can't do the everyday, you know, and you grew up in America and you feel American, but you work through it, and here we are.
Indeed. And I think also, sorry, just to add just to add to the idea of perspective, being aware of the wider world and being aware of the politics. I think that's something that, you know, if you were born here and you grew up here and you don't hear about these stories, it's just something that kids don't have to deal with in their daily lives. And being in a legal/political situation, and knowing the politics of other countries and knowing the politics of this country and having to be aware of that and learn it in case it comes up or anything happens, or just because your parents are dealing with it on a daily basis, that's perspective. Mm-hmm. That's perspective, and it shapes your worldview and it shapes you as a person.
We're talking to Carlo Alban and Jessica DeNova about issues of the undocumented. I think that that awareness of the politics at a young age and being aware of what those politics can really mean to your daily life is an interesting point, because most folk don't have to deal with that. We're, you know, as Americans, for better or worse, really raked over the coals for not being the most astute folk in terms of, you know, world politics, much less our own politics. But I mean, as this presidential election like continues to draw the line between very incendiary language on immigration with, you know, fences and border patrol, and I'm sorry, what is it?
Border patrol.
But what's the Trump is calling for a police force to come and get undocumented folk, all the way to just even, you know,
mass deportations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even comprehensive immigration policy and reform. What is that? I mean, when you hear these points of view, what is that? I mean, how does that, you know, resonate or not with you all, given your history and your present?
For me personally, the first thing that comes to mind is we talk about the need for a fence, you know, to protect ourselves and or to protect the United States. I mean, again, I keep including ourselves in because I feel I am American. But one thing that growing up, I always noticed housekeepers, people working in kitchens, some people's babysitters and some people's lawn people mowing lawns, I knew were of undocumented status. And I heard the homeowners speak about undocumented individuals and the criminals that, you know, the undocumented community, members of the undocumented community are, and the dangers that they bring into society. But it always boggled me. And as a child, I noticed it. You're giving us the keys to your home to clean and your children to babysit. I mean, do you really think we're that dangerous, or are we cheap labor? So that was something that always stood out to me. And the whole, you know, the idea of not paying taxes. The government issues undocumented immigrants a tax ID number to say, okay, you're here illegally, you're working, we want you to pay taxes. So put into the Social Security system. And I always did. I put into the Social Security system, so did my parents, but we weren't collecting Social Security. We weren't eligible for any, you know, federal or state programs, but we're definitely giving to it. So that's not true. You know, there's definitely the government issues a legal number to pay taxes. I'm not saying everyone does it, but there are a lot of people out there that are paying taxes, but they're still not able to legally work in the country. So these are things that I was very aware of as a child.
Yeah. In terms of Trump's rhetoric, I mean, it terrifies me, not for myself, but for the people that are in that situation today. I think it's absolutely unrealistic. I think he has not really any kind of plan. I don't think he's going to build a wall. I think everything that he's saying is for political points and to try to get votes. But I think that in his rhetoric, he is bringing out a lot of hatred and a lot of misunderstanding. And I think that he's creating a really big social problem in this country, or he's adding flame to he's adding fuel to the fire.
Yes.
And on the Democratic side, when we talk about comprehensive immigration reform, there are elements of what could be, I guess, touted as a little bit more of the right side of the political spectrum as well as the left. What do you think about those notions of being able to have strong border control, but also having paths to citizenship? Does that seem realistic as well, or no? Are we still talking about the same kind of unrealistic notions?
No, I think there absolutely can be a comprehensive immigration plan. I think that, yes, there will always be border control. There always has been border control. There always will be border control. We do not have open borders in this country. It's not that easy to get in. But people still do because they need to. Nobody comes to this country to live as an undocumented immigrant because they're, trying to, stick it to the man. They're coming here because, unfortunately, the economies of Latin America and Mexico and, a lot of the rest of the world are not as great as the economy of this country. And this country exports its culture and its wealth. And that is very attractive. And so it attracts a lot of people naturally. And it is a country of opportunity. And there is room for everybody. And there is opportunity for everybody. I don't think there's anything wrong with patrolling borders. But to shut people down entirely and to not have a path to legalization and to citizenship is, in my opinion, absolutely immoral and unrealistic. People are going to continue to come to this country.
Definitely. For those who say we are a nation of laws, just the same we are a nation of immigrants. Those go hand in hand. And like Carlos said, what more do you need than a desert? I mean, people die, at least coming in from Mexico every day. There is a need for, border control. There are definitely issues going on with firearms and drugs going in and out in both directions. So there definitely needs to be some sort of border control. Let people, let's know who's coming in and out of this country. But the fact remains that the people that are bringing the drugs and weapons and crime into this nation, they're not the undocumented immigrants. And if there was a process for them to say, we are here and come out of the shadows and reduce the risk of exploitation, they're going to take it. I did as soon as I could. And I know my family and friends would do the same.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting, point of discussion. Especially when it seems to me the rhetoric of the issue starts really at its base becoming one of fear, like fear of lifestyle, fear of economics, fear of lawlessness, fear of difference. And it just seems to continue to be, a common thread. How do you break stereotypes? In terms of the issue, much less get to an analysis on what it is in terms of economics, of the people who are undocumented and how they really affect the economy or not.
I agree. I think, I think back to something that Jessica said at the beginning of the show where, you said that you grew up in a town where there were a lot of conservatives and you felt that there were a lot of parallels between your family and between those families, and if we could all just get together and have a drink, have a barbecue.
Even more so here, actually, in rural Southern Oregon, too,
Yeah, and have a barbecue and talk about it. I mean, I think these kinds of conversations, I think that people telling their stories and being open will lead to that kind of understanding. But
and people being open to asking questions. If you don't know something, ask.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, but hateful rhetoric, and talking about building walls, and that's going to have the exact opposite effect.
I would be remiss in not exploring the fact that I have a journalist and an actor, in my midst. Those folk who are responsible for reporting or telling stories, how does that affect the prospect of clarifying this issue?
For me, it's been a bit of a challenge because I've always very openly shared my story, but I recently discovered, you know, my passion for journalism, and my family and friends, I'm sure, would definitely agree that they can't get me to stop talking and telling them stories. And they're like, okay, Jessica, enough. But it's you know, they say as a journalist, you should be neutral. You know, you shouldn't be biased, but we're all human beings, and this is my story. It's not me being biased. This is my reality. And I think it's always important to show as many angles that you can to a story. And I have covered immigration stories and issues here in the area, and I've gotten both sides. I think it's fair, but I also think that I have a moral responsibility when there are issues, when they're humane issues. You cannot ignore that. You have to take a stand when people's lives are on the line. And there are, I would say, more than 11 million lives on the line. We need comprehensive immigration reform, and we need to make sure that our nation is safe. We need to know who's here, and we need to make sure that we're not exploiting people. And I think the fear that we should have is a fear of people not wanting to immigrate to this country. Because when people no longer want to come to this nation, there's something wrong. We should be incredibly proud that people want to flock to the United States of America, because this is the land of opportunity. The American dream still exists. America never stopped being great. And I think that Carlo and I are excellent examples of how amazing of a nation this is.